For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we invite the Spirit of God to have his way tonight, Lord, in this service. Please stir up our hearts, prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God tonight, Lord, and please help me to speak the words, Lord, and minister according to the power of the Lord, what you want people to be hearing tonight. We thank you for your kindness, Lord. We thank you for the mercy and grace of God upon us, Lord. And we set ourselves to hear from the word tonight and to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to be looking at healed and free in Christ. So this is a healing meeting tonight. So we're going to focus on healing and the liberty that we have in Christ. And after the sermon, we're going to, if you want prayer for yourself, because you can come up the front and be prayed for, because the Lord is always willing and he is present to heal when you are ready to receive. The healing power of God is here. Praise the Lord. And it's wonderful to know that there's nothing too hard for the Lord either. A person, it doesn't matter what their situation looks like, if they're ready to receive from the Lord, then he's ready to help. He's ready to help. It doesn't matter how serious it is or what the report has been or how bad it seems to you, the Lord is here to help. And nothing's too hard for him. That's what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. So firstly, let's have a look in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and we'll read verses 11 to verse 17. Because we're looking at healed and free in Christ. Luke 13, and we start at verse 11 and read down to verse 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So this shows us that what God is prepared to do and what God can do for us. And it's shown in the situation of the healing of this woman that she received a miraculous healing. It sounds like she was pretty stooped over, bowed over. And I know people can get very badly stooped over. I've seen it. Sometimes they can just go around and they're bent in the middle and they can't lift themselves up, and all they can do is look straight ahead from a bowed over position, and it's not good. So she was obviously very bowed over there, and she'd been in there a long time in that situation. Now, that was not too hard for the Lord. That was nothing of an effort for him to do that, to heal her, so that she was made straight. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And before he did that, he spoke to her and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." So he said something to her to give her a chance to use her faith on the word of God that was spoken to her. So he gave her a point of contact to receive the word of God. And then he did the work of the miracle, and she received it. So she obviously believed the word that Christ spoke to her. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. She saw it. Suddenly she had that revelation, and that's the way it can happen for people. They just suddenly, it just becomes apparent to them that this is the power of God and this is what God can do for me. And from that moment on, they receive and they're made free. They walk in the freedom. They receive it, the power of God. And she obviously believed it. She believed it. She saw it. She understood what Jesus was saying to her. You are loosed. And he went on to say she was a daughter of Abraham and she'd been bound by Satan. She'd been bound by Satan. And that's very significant there, that we understand that the devil is behind the sickness and oppression. He's behind that. He's the author of that. So Satan had bound her, lo, these 18 years, the scripture says. Satan, now it doesn't say God did it. God did not do that. He did not cause her to go like that in her life. He obviously did not want her to stay like that, or else why do the work of healing in her? He came along and he said to her, she's loosed from her infirmity. She believed it. He laid his hands on her and she was made straight. Made straight, that thing, that devilish oppression that was on her. And he said it directly, Satan hath bound, was immediately cast off. And she was able to stand up. She was able to stand up straight away when the Lord ministered his work upon her and spoke to her. And that's what the will of God is. That his people, she was a daughter of Abraham, we are the sons of Abraham by faith. We are the children of the promise, the heirs of God. We are the children of God. God does not want to see us oppressed by the devil in any way, like this woman was. So God wants us to be free from any bondage, just like this woman was, any bondage of the devil. He wants us to be free from it. And this is something we can look at to say, yes, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. It's not something he wants for his people. He doesn't want them to be lingering on. He could have, if it had been the will of God, that woman would have been like that until the day she died. But she received healing. And that's what God's will is. So let's have a look in Luke chapter 4. And let's read verses 17 to 19 in Luke 4. Luke 4 and verses 17 to verse 19. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the mission of Christ. That was what his ministry was about. That's what his ministry was about, and he did it in the power of God's Spirit. He was anointed by God to do these things. He preached the gospel, which is the good news. The good news that you can be born again and you can live in the kingdom of God and you can be free from devilish oppression and you can prosper and you can be blessed in the kingdom of God. That's the good news, the gospel to the poor. You don't have to linger on in poverty. You don't have to be in a broken state. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. Whatever the cause of that may be, the brokenhearted can be healed by Christ. The brokenhearted can be healed by Christ. He was sent, and that's what he still does that today, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. The captives. Remember, Jesus said, whoever sins is a servant of sin. And we saw from the example of that woman, she was bound by Satan. Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. He's the deliverer. And recovering of sight to the blind. That means physically the blind and also spiritually the blind. Because Jesus, the Bible talks about being spiritually blind to the truth and also physically blind. Nothing's too hard for him. He healed blind people. Blind Bartimaeus was healed. He had a ministry of healing and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to set at liberty them that are bruised. If you've been knocked around by the devil in this life, Jesus came to set people at liberty. Them that are bruised. Jesus came to set them at liberty. Praise God, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the time. The Bible says that. Now is the day of salvation. That we should hear his voice, not harden our hearts, but hear his voice. He came to preach deliverance. He came to do it, and he did it. And he still does it today. He still delivers. He's a deliverer. He's a deliverer from the power of the devil, from the power of Satan. He's a deliverer. He wants us to be in a healthy state. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to live out our days in health, not in a state of oppression from the devil. So he wants us to be in a strong and healthy state. Let's look at Acts 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Which says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let's look at that verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So this clearly shows the will of God. Clearly shows the will of God. Healing and deliverance are the will of God. Without a doubt, healing and deliverance are God's will. It tells us that, and it says that it's good because Jesus went about doing good, and we know he healed the sick. We know he raised the dead. We know he preached the gospel. We know he restored people. He restored families. He did all these good things. The Bible says that he went about doing good. He went about doing good, being kind to people and showing them love and giving to the poor, ministering. He ministered to people. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice it's the devil who is the oppressor. The devil did the oppressing and still does today. God is not the oppressor. God is the deliverer. God is the deliverer from oppression. God is the deliverer. So he has to be the one that we look to and rely on and trust in and hope in and receive from, because he is the deliverer. He's the deliverer. He healed. He heals today all that were oppressed of the devil. Remember, the devil is behind the sickness. The devil is behind the oppression. It's not God doing it in our lives. It's not the will of God. Because the will of God is clearly seen in the ministry of Jesus. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the sickness is not God's will. It is not God's will. The pain is not God's will. The infirmity, the symptoms, they are not God's will. They are not God's will. They are not God's will. The deliverance is God's will. The deliverance is God's will. The restoration, the healing, that is God's will. That is God's will. He wants us to live our days out in strength. He doesn't want us to be broken down people when we get to like on our way into heaven, broken and infirm and sick. He wants us to be strong and healthy, and he can do it. He can do it. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too hard for him. Certainly not anything the devil brings. It's not hard for him. Not hard for him at all. So Christ heals people from devilish oppression, and that includes physical oppression. That includes physical sickness. That includes mental sickness. Includes mental oppression. Because that's all oppression. It's all oppression. God is the deliverer. He's the one who brings health and strength and peace to us. Let's have a look in Mark 5, verses 1 to 15. In Mark 5. Mark 5, verses 1 to verse 15. Let's read this passage. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered him, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now that is a wonderful miracle that was done to this poor man that was so tormented by the devil. And you can see there was many devils this man was possessed with. He was not in his right mind. He was crazy. He was violent. He was cutting himself with stones. And obviously so tormented, he was just living amongst the tombs like a wild animal. And he couldn't be bound with chains. He would break the chains. So he would pluck them asunder and break the fetters in pieces. No man could tame him. He was really crazy. And today they would lock a person like that away in an institution under security. And they would be very closely monitored and drugged. And this person was devil-possessed. They don't call that today. They don't call it devil possession. But that's what it was, and that's what it is. Devil possession. The devil was possessing this man physically and mentally, possessed him. But this man, he came to Jesus. He came to the Lord. And he obviously was wanting something of the Lord, or else the Lord could do nothing for him unless he wanted something of the Lord. And the Lord took mercy on him and cast out those devils out of the man, and that man was healed. He was restored to his right mind. That's what the scripture says. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid, because it would have looked totally different. Here he was, just totally healed and in his right mind and clothed. There was obviously a lot of devils in that man. There was about 2,000 swine. I don't know if each one of those swines had a devil put into them, but that's a lot. So you see there's nothing too hard for the Lord. This devil-possessed man, the situation of his healing shows that it's the devil who oppresses. The devil causes these things. God is the deliverer. God is the deliverer. He restored this man to his right mind. He restored this man so that this man could function again like a normal human being. And this man was grateful and thankful to what the Lord did for him. So let's read John chapter 5. Let's go over to John chapter 5. And let's read another passage. Let's read verses 1 to verse 14 in this John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. So you see, he 38 years this man had been impotent and obviously wasn't able to move properly, walk properly. He couldn't even get himself into that miraculous water where the Lord did a work in the water so that people could have a point of contact to receive their healing. He couldn't get himself down there. No one would help him. No one would help him to get in there. So he couldn't get healed by trying to get into the water. He obviously wanted to, though. He obviously wanted the healing. And Jesus said to him plainly, Wilt thou be made whole? He didn't need to go into the water. He had the healing right now. All he had to do was receive of the Lord. Receive of the Lord. That's all he had to do. And when Jesus said to him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk, the man obviously believed it and did it. He obviously believed it. He was a man who wanted healing. You can see that because he was there by the pool. He wanted healing. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man obviously had the faith to do it. He got up. He took up his bed and he was miraculously healed. Miraculously healed by the Lord. And what Jesus said to him afterward is very significant. Jesus, in verse 14, said, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now that's important because the sin, we have to understand that even speaking words of doubt and unbelief, that's sinning against the Lord. So the man was told to sin no more. Once he received his healing, don't sin anymore. Don't sin anymore. And you can do it. We can do it with the power of the Lord. And if that's why God said sin no more. And if a person does sin, you've got to quickly repent. We have to quickly repent and get things right with the Lord. Because we don't want to go back into the curse again. We don't want to. It's up to us to walk in the blessing. You see, God waits for us to use our faith. He waits for us to receive. So we have to be vigilant. We have to guard our hearts. And obviously that was the commandment of the Lord. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So that's important. If the Lord does something for us, we don't want to be gainsaying it. Again, we just want to be going on in the strength of the Lord. Going on in his strength. Have a look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, which says, Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is from the devil. And Christ hath made us free, the scripture says. So the Bible says to us, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, because the devil is always trying to look for an opening, to bring something in, to bring something worse in. The devil is trying to trip us up and snare us and steal the word from our hearts. So our duty is to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is from the devil. So don't be entangled again with that thing that is oppressive, the yoke of bondage from the devil. And the thing that gives the devil an opportunity to work is the sin. So that's why Jesus said, sin no more. And if we also have a look at verse 13 in Galatians 3, if we go over there and look at verse 13, the scripture says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This is a wonderful scripture that tells about every good thing that Jesus has done for us, including healing. Because the sickness, remember, the sickness is in the curse. The sickness, the disease, the oppression, the infirmity, the pain is in the curse. We have to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And put this into practice. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's walk in that redemption. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. He took the curse and gave us his healing. He gave us his grace and strength, and he took the curse. So we are redeemed from the curse. We are redeemed from the sickness. And we can stand fast in that. Even if you have to remind that to the devil, that you are redeemed from the curse of the law. You are redeemed from the curse. We have been purchased. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Yes. As born again Christians. Taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Delivered from that. Have a look in Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 13 and 14 in Colossians 1. The scripture says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, including the devilish oppression. We are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are translated into the kingdom of God. We have redemption. Redemption from the curse. Redemption from sin. We have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. So we are redeemed. As we just read, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Redeemed and forgiven and healed and strong and blessed. We are redeemed. Let's look in the book of John again. Gospel of John chapter 8. John 8. And reading from verse 31. And let's read to verse 31 to verse 36. The scripture tells us, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. ye shall be free indeed. You are free. You are free. The truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we can see from these verses that continuing in the word, knowing the truth, and putting it into practice leads to complete freedom. So continuing in the word of God, that's obedience, knowing what the truth is, knowing the word, and walking in it leads to complete freedom. Complete freedom. Let's go over to 1 Peter 2:24. The scripture says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus bare our sins. He took our sicknesses and our infirmities and our diseases, by whose stripes ye were healed. So Jesus suffered for us. He suffered the curse. He took the curse upon himself. He bare our sins and he bare our sicknesses. He bare our sins and he bore our sickness. He bore our sicknesses upon himself, so that we could live unto righteousness, so that we could walk in the healing that he purchased for us. He purchased it for us with his own blood, with his sacrifice. It was purchased. And let's turn two more scriptures. Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14, which says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That means to serve him through obedience, to wait on him, to walk in the liberty wherewith he's made us free. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Wait on him. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So our duty is to wait on the Lord, to let the word of God go into our heart and to serve him. The Bible tells us to serve him with gladness. And lastly, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, which says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same. The same wonderful works that he did amongst the people here on earth, in his ministry on earth, he still does that today. He's the same. He still delivers the captives, heals the brokenhearted, recovers the sight of the blind, sets at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus still does that today, and forevermore he will be the same. Forevermore he is the healer, the deliverer. He's our strength. So Christ's healing power is as strong now as it ever was. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. We thank you that Jesus is our healer. We thank you, Lord, that you are the deliverer from satanic oppression. We thank you, Lord, that you give strength to our bodies. You give peace and strength to our minds. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you want us healed, you want us strong. We thank you and give you glory and praise in Jesus' name.